The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Salutations, everybody. It is Matty here today with episode 199 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it's me, Carrick, with ACG.
As he cracks open a pop. What are we drinking today? What is that?
The same shit, 99-cent fake. Oh, you can't see it. 99-cent fake Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah. Diet Citrus Drop.
Yeah, it's like generico as okay. The name.
But, okay. What does it taste like? Does it taste like Mountain Dew?
It tastes like Mountain Dew, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, you know how, you know, Coke, Pepsi kind of thing. It's right. Got a little bit of a tinge that's different, but it's just cheap.
Yeah, because that's the thing like with soda. You can always – that's, like, the one thing you can get, like, a budget version of, and it tastes pretty much identical.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely can. And, like, Walmart's got a version, and then – well, at least in America. Yeah, you've got – yeah, and Kroger for Fred Meyer, at least here, Fred Meyer. I think it's called Piggly Wiggly in other places, but yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that's the name of the stores in other places. But, yeah, there's always a generic cola. Mm. Yeah, and you can go pretty low. You can go as low as Tab, which I'm telling you right now tastes horrendous.
Ugh.
I mean, it is the worst stuff I've ever tasted, and I can deal with some pretty shitty fucking, you know, like, rip-off.
That reminds me of when I was in Canada last year, around this time, actually more like February, but I was in there, and I remember one of my good friends, Nick, me and Ivan went out, and one of our good friends, Nick, was like, hey, when you come back, make sure you pick up some Cheez-Its for me. And so I remember we were at Walmart, and this is a whole experience unto its own. I've never been in Canada, rather. Ivan and Nick had. But we asked the employee there. We're like, hey, do you guys have Cheez-Its? They're like, what? I'm like, Cheez-Its. Do you have Cheez-Its? They're like, what are Cheez-Its? I'm like, what? I said, what back? I was like, what do you mean, what are Cheez-Its? Because I'm thinking, like, this is a global product.
They're like, right.
Do you mean Cheez Nips? I'm like, sure, because I'm thinking it's just an international thing. Like, they changed the name. So we buy them. Tastes like shit.
They're terrible. Yeah. Cheese nips are nasty. Yeah.
Not good. And the best part of it all was when I was standing in the middle of the aisle reading the box, and someone was pulling up with their cart. And I was clearly in their way, so I was going to say, excuse me, move around them. And they moved around me and went, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
They saw you holding the cheese,
yeah,
the cheese nips?
They just moved around me, like – a very Canadian stereotype type of thing. They're so polite. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so nasty. Maybe they were apologizing for you having those in your hands. Maybe they're like, I'm so sorry. Like, they were like, I'm so sorry if you get those, man. Yeah, they're nasty.
I love Canada. The time I spent
I was just
going
to ask, you had a good time?
I mean, Edmonton isn't the best, in my opinion, but Canada in general, I kind of like the peace and quiet there. And I just associate it with good times because I was there for a hockey tournament last year. So it was, you know, it's a good memory.
Oh, right. That was the hockey tournament. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, as for our standard intro stuff, as always, you can go ahead and flick a buck.
Flick a buck.
This time we have the intro because I got the audio mixing correct.
You got it figured out.
Yep. So we're all good. Anyway, if you do flick a buck, you support the show. You can join both of our Patreons, and on my dollar tier, if you want to go the cheapest option, you get early access to this show right here. On top of that, you get Discord access, so you can chat with some of the most amazing gamers in the world. And if you go a little bit higher, you can get access to, like, Patreon-exclusive videos. For example, this week, I am posting a video for my puppy, which I have just acquired. And let me tell you, that has been a fucking handful. Holy shit. Like, I have been...
You mean just, like, not prepared for the amount of activity?
No, I was prepared. And so, thank God I was, but it's just, it's a lot. You know, in the sense of, you gotta make sure, like, you're attending to him, walking him a lot, teaching him commands. Yeah. And, you know, there's only so much he can learn because he's so young. He's 8 weeks old. And so, yeah, like, between that and reviewing games, which I'm working on Days Gone right now and another game that we can't speak of. But, yeah, two big reviews in progress. So it's like a lot at once. And plus, I got to travel for Borderlands 3 at the end of the month. So a lot going on. A lot of good stuff, but a lot going on. What about you, brother?
Yeah, unfortunately, same thing as you. Like, some games you can talk about, some games you can't. But, yeah I've got a couple reviews in the bag. And then one or two that come next week. I will say the nice thing. Regardless of the review of the game, looking at how they scheduled them, mm-hmm. Most, not all, but most had a fairly good early code, which was nice.
Yeah.
And they're spaced out, I noticed. I don't know if this is on purpose, because we always bitch about PR making dumb mistakes, but I looked at their dates for when they come, and I'm like, if this isn't on purpose, maybe it's just luck, but they're pretty big games, and they're spaced pretty well, so that, like, they're not getting over... Yeah, which usually it's like, let's say, Tuesday or whatever, and it's like, all at the same exact hour, mm-hmm. and who knows what hour that could be. 12 o'clock my time, 12 o'clock your time, 6 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 11 a.m., but it was nice this week to see those. Mm-hmm. And then we had Spawn Wave on the international, which was fun to talk about, talk about some tech. And then, just really overall reviews. Some streaming on the side when I get a chance. It's just been knuckling down.
Sam, I'm returning to streaming tonight. I mean, it'll already have happened for most folks listening afterwards. But yeah, I'm finally going back to streaming because I got a lot of my ducks in a row finally. You know, it was just so much shit happening. I feel good, ready to go. So I'm excited for that. Future is bright. And now let's get into what we consider, I suppose, a slower week. But the main headline here is a pretty big deal. We got PlayStation 5 details. So Sony's pretty much trying to cut ahead of Microsoft, and it did a soft announcement, of the PS5. The general rundown is that VR will be supported for the PS5, which probably explains why the first State of Play focused on VR so much, because I imagine that's a part of the package Sony's going to try to push for PS5. Also, PS4 backwards compatibility. There's 8K gaming, which can stuff it. And on top of that, I saw ray tracing being a huge thing for a lot of folks. It's housed in the console will be an AMD chip that has a CPU based on the third generation Ryzen. It'll have 8 cores of the 7 nanometer Zen 2 microchip. Although the console will support 8K displaying at this resolution, will be dependent on TVs catching up and also consumers. that's for damn sure. The graphics, meanwhile, will be driven by a custom version of Navi line. Sorry if I mispronounced that. This graphics chip will support ray tracing, something which is starting to become popular in movies and video games. Although it traditionally is thought of as a lighting technique, Cerny says that there are implications beyond creating realistic environments. And I think that was the most exciting aspect for folks, because it's designed for a lot of people have been saying, rather, that that can up the immersion more than anything. And we want to see a big graphical leap, because between the PS3 and end of the PS3 and 360 versus the PS4 and Xbox One, obviously there has been a step forward, but it wasn't as significant as, say, a PS2 to a PS3 or the original Xbox to the 360. So what do you feel about all this? You're our tech guy here on the show, so I'm sure you can go a little more in depth on some of the technology I listed. How are you feeling about the PS5? I saw a response article saying that pretty much Xbox will be more expensive this time around, but it'll be way more powerful. So how do you feel about all of that?
I mean, some of the stuff that I had heard, that does seem to bear out with what I've heard, but whether that turns out to be the end, because remember the Xbox original got 110, 150 megahertz increase like 3 weeks before it released. Mm-hmm. And that actually helped. So I think they're keeping it close to the vest kind of thing for a while.
Right.
Overall, the one thing about ray tracing and Paper Bag in your Discord and my Discord, he did discuss this, that the acceleration of ray tracing is like, it's actually, there's multiple steps to ray tracing. And the paste bin leaker who leaked a shit ton of proper data in the last couple of years also leaked this early. And one of the things it states in there is that the ray tracing is more like it also does it, not that we're concentrating on it, which would make sense because, like, we can already do ray tracing on our old cards now. It's just really slow. So there'll be some acceleration of it. It's cool because ray tracing, like you were saying, isn't just about lighting. There are other things you can do with ray tracing, which I think is cool. Overall, this is what we want, though. The Jaguar CPUs are terrible in these current consoles.
Right.
So the ones, and we don't even know if it's a separate, so you have a CPU, GPU, or you have an APU, which is both. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think the big question is, because AMD's got Infinity Fabric, which is just a fancy name for a connector. But it's like right now when they have a super high core chip, it's actually two chips with Infinity Fabric, which is supposed to be as fast as if they were one. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know if they're two yet. So that'll be even more interesting, because if they are to, it offers the possibility of a little, maybe some upgradability later on, with like new revisions. If they're one, then you sort of have to look like, if you go in and, you know, if you fuck around too much in there, you know, you get weird balance issues. Right. So that's all cool. PSVR being forward compatible is great. I think, obviously they'll do a PSVR 2 because you can't increase the resolution on a PSVR. So the hardware, you can't make a 720p TV be 4K. It doesn't work.
Do you think what they'll do is kind of like a, we'll call it, for lack of better words, like a PSVR Pro rather than like a
second?
That's
exactly it.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's why the Elite, we were talking about this in our podcast, the Elite controllers for the Xbox, they're going to work with the new Xbox.
Of course, yeah.
XXL or whatever the fuck it's called, because people spend so much money. Like an Elite car, remember, an Elite controller is almost the cost of a PSVR in your hand. Like, it's $200 for a PSVR. It's $150 for an Elite some places. So, yeah, technology-wise, I think it's pretty much what we expected. There'll be some improvements. They did sort of, like, I don't know if this is true. But I did ask a couple developers what they thought about, like, the storage solution that Sony was talking about. They sort of blew it out of proportion because they were like, Spider-Man can only swing this fast because of the current hardware. But that's actually not true, because the current hardware loads the game into your RAM, not off of your hard drive on a lot of games. So the RAM is already running at incredibly fast speed. You're buffering into your RAM. So it's like, that's why you do have games that are light speed. You do have games, you know, very fast, right? And they were showing a video of like Spider-Man, and they were like, oh, he can only swing this fast because of this. Well, technically also it's artistic.
Right.
You wouldn't want Spider-Man to swing really fast. So sort of a bullshit. And I would call bullshit on Mike. Okay. Yeah, I would call bullshit on Microsoft, Nintendo, if anybody did that. It was more of a, that was sort of like one of those times when you're like blast processing.
Yeah, so the direct quote, by the way, all this information I'm citing is coming from GameSpot. Cerny demonstrated the change an SSD introduces to gaming by comparing a load sequence from Insomniac Experiment on a standard PS4 Pro and a dev kit of the next-gen next-gen PS5, but they really haven't announced it's the PS5, next-gen PlayStation. On the former, it was around 15 seconds, while on the latter, it was 0.8 seconds. This, Cerny added, has implications on how the world can be rendered too, which in turn impacts how quickly Spidey can move through the world. On the new hardware, the camera moves through the city much quicker, as the hardware is capable of keeping up with the rendering requirements. So now that I read that too, and it's fine print, I also wonder, you know, that's a PS4 game, right? That's created for the PS4, and obviously they want to make the PS5, hopefully, it seems like, from what I can judge, significantly more powerful. So when the games start maximizing all of that, can these upgrades still be accounted for, right? They're saying like, oh, it'll move X amount of times faster. But let's say we brought a PS5 game in trying to really push the limits, and would it still be that 0.8 second load time? Like, I doubt it, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's another thing. It's also the same thing that you hear a lot of people saying, oh, it'll be more powerful than a PC, but all of these updates will come to the PC version of the AMD chip too.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. Like, it's almost like saying, oh man, we have, you know, a ton more memory. Mm-hmm. Everything will be faster. But it's like, no, we'll just make textures twice as big. So everything just takes, you know what I mean? So you get that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That will happen too. We'll see improvements. And I like that writing that you just read a little better, because it says implications, and that's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
That part is, it will have implications, just like I have M2 memory in my PC. That has implications. I boot instead of 32 seconds, I boot in like 2 seconds, right?
Right.
So you'll see that. AMD already has this kind of thing available for purchase on their website. It's a caching software that allows you to cache whatever you use a lot onto your fastest drives. And that's pretty much what this will be. The real question, though, Maddie, is going to be, will it be this fast for multiple games? The reason why is, most likely, it'll be like an SSD with a very fast cache, and that'll be where your game is, the game you're playing. But if you were to jump to another game, then you have to not only fill that new cache with data, but you have to also write it in there, plus you have to play it. And so that'll be interesting to see, like, for somebody like you or I, if I go from one game to another, will I see, like, how are they going to account for me jumping into the new game and wanting to play at full speed?
Right.
And that actually will be a thing. I mean, that is a thing. Like, it's already a thing with M2 memory, because I use M2 memory, and there, it's super fast. It's amazing. But it still will, it still gets, bottlenecked. And then the CPU, I think a lot of this is also the CPU, dude, because the Jaguars are terrible. Most games are compressed, so it uncompresses, and that's CPU usage. So these CPUs are so much more powerful that the compression is like insanely fast. And then off a hard drive, to uncompress it takes longer. So now it'll be supposedly an SSD with a cache of some kind, which will be even faster. That's all awesome. And Xbox has already said they were doing it. Yeah. Yeah, this is, it's a cool step. And it's what PC users, I think a PC user probably won't be like as stunned, but specific games, you bet Sony will do whatever they can to some way make, and so will Xbox if they have something like this. They'll do whatever they can to make it look like that's something never before done. It's sort of a bullfighter kind of thing where
it benefits both parties to try to catch up to PC as much as possible, just because they're both seemingly starting to share onto the PC, like especially Xbox's side of things, but
especially
PlayStation
Xbox.
We saw them lose a couple of exclusives, all Quantic Dream, and go straight to the Epic Store. And while that, I don't think that benefits PlayStation. I imagine they're tinkering with the idea of, and I think they have in the past, of being able to play a PlayStation game off the PC. There's a way, I think, to like mirror it, I want to say, or something along those lines. I can't remember exactly the details, but I could have sworn I heard PlayStation was tinkering with that too. So if there's like another giant gap between them, like there was when we started the PS4 and Xbox One, I think that could present its own set of problems. So based off your knowledge, would you say they've closed the gap a little bit at this point? Okay.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, because storage is a big deal. Right. But also you have to look at the cost. They can't make it too big. Otherwise, the cost of the console, you have to offset that. I think Microsoft is in a much better position to subsidize by just using Game Pass's funds to pay off. So, like, if I sell you an Xbox, I can say, I'll take a $100 loss because Game Pass is paying a shit ton of money. And then if you succeed by selling a ton, you actually make money anyway. If you don't succeed, you've paid it off with Game Pass. I think Sony's in a little bit of a different position. They also don't want to be left behind. So I think they're both going to be really close. And all it's going to do is, bring them closer to PC, which then makes it easier for a dev. Because a dev looks at a PS5 and an Xbox and goes, okay, they still are going to make Xbox One versions. Microsoft has made that clear. But that'll be your low setting. And then you'll have, like, your medium setting might be your Xbox X, and then your ultra would be the PS5 and the Xbox whatever, next. Which is cool.
What confused me was, when I was reading it, it seemed like they really hyped up the 8K gaming, and I looked at some monitors, and they were, like, $4,000-$5,000, insanely expensive. Now, like you said, they are clearly keeping it close to the chest, but what would stop them from mentioning... we'll say current PS4 games could now run at 60 FPS consistently on our new system.
The only reason, well, two reasons. It requires a patch, so the dev has to be alive, because a lot of devs will evaporate and move on. So you have to actually have a dev. That's one of the problems with backwards compatibility. So you have to have a dev alive, physically there to patch it. Then you have physics. Some games are tied to their physics, locked to 30 FPS. To handle their physics, that kind of thing. So it can happen for most, I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. It does require a physical adjustment, because you don't want it to go too fast and have something crazy happen that you never planned for. You're like, okay, we're updating it 45 frames per second, 30 frames per second, what have you. Everything's fine. We can double it. And then you double it and shit starts. We've all had that moment in Skyrim when you can hear fruit in a room going because the physics got fucked up, and you're like, what's happening? So that I would say the 8K is probably bullshit. It's typical PR bullshit. That to me is the most, and I've seen 8K versus 4, and 8K does look better.
Right.
But I think that's the PR. And Maddie, not to be rude, as long as you've got the right HDMI cabling and connector in the back of your console, you can do 8K right now today. It's just your what concessions you're making. So you could do a very LucasArts games, let's say, like, one of those point and clicks. You could do that 16K, because you don't need to worry about a fucking thousand things being drawn. You could do it at insanely high resolution, as long as the bandwidth of your HDMI cable or DisplayPort was high enough. So that's the thing people don't understand about resolution is you can say whatever you want, but frame rate and then action on the screen are what really dictate what you can do with the resolution. So I think they'll checkerboard too, which is what they do now, right, to hit 4, you know, the tricks, which is fine, yeah, where they do a bunch of tricks to get to 4K, where it's like not native 4K. And that stuff seems to work for a lot of people. But yeah, it seemed like that was typical what we would expect from Nintendo or Microsoft whenever they have new tech to sort of pretend. Makes it's sense. Another number, right?
But yeah.
It's, remember when it was 16-bit, then 32-bit, mm-hmm, then N64? It's sort of like that. It's just like we're going to double a bunch of shit.
Yeah, gotcha. The other aspect is obviously the games. You know, we see that PS4 is doing, or PS5 is doing PS4 backwards compatibility, and it stops right there. Outside of PSVR support, which is, I guess, a sense of backwards compatibility in its own right.
Sure.
But it seems like Xbox has the edge there, right? Because that goes all the way back to the original
Xbox. That might speak to a lot more consumers.
When they see 8K, especially, like I said, they look at... And that's not to dumb down all the other cool stuff that Sony announced, but when they see 8K, they're probably like, what does that matter to me? Versus, oh, look at how far back I can go. I can not only access... Let's say you just buy the console day and date. Right, like the Microsoft Xbox, like you said, XXL comes out,
okay? Right,
and you're picking it up. You don't have money for a game, but let's say you A, have Game Pass, B, you got a 360 game on the shelf, C, you got an Xbox One game on the shelf. You got games day one. How cool would that be? Especially if a lot of those Xbox One
exclusives. Yeah, I have a feeling that's how Microsoft will sell.
Right, especially if the Xbox One exclusives have like huge updates.
Price, right? I mean, that's a big deal. Like, I honestly do believe, Maddie, that that both of them will have weird deals. That's the one big thing I think will happen. Is like, I don't know if it'll be Microsoft or Sony, but I have a feeling we're going to see something odd, like Microsoft saying, $299 with a 2-year subscription of Game Pass or something. Because remember, they're trying to push that. Sony's trying to push something slightly different. Nintendo's trying to do their thing.
Right.
And so that would be really interesting to see if, we don't know how Microsoft is. They're doing well financially for sure, insanely well with Game Pass, but we don't know if that matters enough to where they'll be like, we want to just get consoles in the door, so we're going to subsidize that and give you it for cheaper, or if they'll make you sign on the dotted line for a 1 year. But even look at State of Decay. Did you see the numbers?
Insane.
It just went up another million.
Yeah,
it went up another million,
that
which
makes
means...
me happy. I like that game.
No, so do I, but god damn.
It's like
it's
a lot more.
It's at 6 million, yeah. It's a number that if you or I were sitting together and we were like, what do you think they're at? I would say they would be happy at 1.5 million.
Yeah,
like,
I would ecstatic. I would have guessed a million, yep.
Yeah, and you just look at it going like, the fuck is happening? And Sea of Thieves, the only game I was rightfully corrected on this that has not been saved by Game Pass is Crackdown 3.
Really?
Strangely enough.
That's odd. So maybe
isn't that odd?
That's odd, but maybe it's a good message to Microsoft that people aren't just going to
not all
shit
games
up.
Can be right.
Right. Like they got to focus on quality and make sure they make like good exclusives, and it's not just going to always be. Because to cut myself off here, I feel like, for example, Sea of Thieves, people saw the potential in State of Decay, even though it had some tech issues. Once again, that's a game that had a lot of potential, and I thought was good at launch. It had its issues, but it was still a great game. Especially it was like what, $20, $30, I think maybe. Those games I think deserve their player bases, but Crackdown, I remember when I reviewed it, I was like, this is just mindless shoot 'em up fun that can work for some, but they did it for two previous games. It didn't really move things forward. It felt very much like a 360 game. It didn't feel like anything new. But I'm most worried about the price points. That's where I sit on it all.
Me too.
I feel like there's always that one outlier who overprices it. Despite what they show.
Well, there's the confident Sony is depressing because we've seen them tell us to get a second job.
Mm-hmm.
And the confident Xbox has been depressing because they put Kinect in, even though Kinect made sense business-wise because of the sale, how many it sold. But that's the thing I worry about too, dude, is like that's why I'm thinking that they'll try to bundle it. Like what if they're like this could be a weird bundle, but like what if they bundle it where it costs more for or costs less for more. So it's like, okay, $4.99 or $3.99 with a 1 year. Because remember, this is something Dreamcast did. Dreamcast was selling for $99, but you would sign up for a year of something. I can't remember. It was like Comcast or something. So, like that kind of stuff. Yeah, I can't remember. That kind of stuff is not unheard of, and it would make sense, especially to get it in the door, right? Because you get the once you get it in the door, that's what matters. Is almost no game companies sold a shit ton at the starting and then petered out. It has happened, but it's much more rare.
I feel like with Microsoft, they shouldn't wave off their strategy, which has been working, which is just constantly undercutting the competition, especially when they're trying to get a fresh start. I know it might hurt them a little bit off the get-go, but you know, look what happened with Sony when their console was priced $100 less than Microsoft's, and then they took one jab at the backwards compatibility, and that was it. Or I'm sorry, not the backwards compatibility, the used discs.
The used discs, yeah.
Yeah. And right,
even though both of them still have the same problem, with you, like they both, right? Remember when Sony was like, "Yeah, you here's how you do this," and blah blah blah, and everybody was like, "They're so pro consumer," and now both of them still have a shit ton of stuff connected to online for single player stuff. Yeah. It's like we sort of got it snuck up on us, regardless of the original.
It's like
complaint.
The fate was inevitable in a really strange, eerie way. You know, things ended up going more digital. People were more like, oh, I like digital now. You know, I like just not having to go to Walmart or GameStop and downloading it from my couch. I don't want to leave after work. I'm like, yeah, this is what they fucking said in 2013. And I was one of those people who was like, nah, fuck no use games. Fuck no physical media. Like I said, I think everyone said this for a while now, but Microsoft was onto something. They were in the right direction. They knew where the industry was heading. They were just, you know, it's a weird thing with entertainment, man. If you're like too ahead of the cut, you know, people will just brush you off.
Yeah, they'll just brush you off or think that you're, I mean, look at how many even tech industry giants where people look at them and be like, your idea is dumb. Yeah. And then like the next year, you're all, well, we're there already. Mm-hmm. Like that's exactly where we are. It just requires one person to stand out front and be the,
it's all time. Yeah. Like even with YouTube, you know, like you it's a completely different example. But you can post a review day and date when the embargo lifts, or you can post it like a day after, and your timing might be better, and your video might do better because you know everyone's inbox has got flooded with reviews, and then everyone's now seeing
and then yours
solo.
Pops off at the end. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
It just happened to me with World War Z. I had to re-upload it, as you know.
I saw that.
Yeah, and when I did it, it completely outperformed what it was initially doing by like a landslide. And obviously, that viewership combined to like a pretty good number. But like at face value, I was like, "Holy shit!" You know, it actually. I didn't do that. I didn't plan that out. But the way it worked, it's crazy.
There's something to be said about close but no cigar still paying off.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is like so. If everything hits at 6 a.m. or whatever, there is something to be said about being that person that 8 hours later hits and people are looking for a second opinion. They or like you said, their inbox, they've hit the bell on 10 websites and they only watch one or two and everybody shows up for that other one. There, I don't think it's as easy to figure out.
Yeah,
but it can certainly pay off. I've definitely seen that pay off for people,
right?
For sure, and it might pay off for these companies. All I care about is VR. I'm really happy PSVR is forward. I think it's ancient tech, so I can't wait for a PSVR. Pro mm-hmm. or whatever. I'm sure Xbox will just either do WMR or name their own, like get a headset from one of the WMR manufacturers, write Xbox on it and sell it, which is all they need to do. Like they quite literally could do that. They could just buy an HP fucking headset and put an Xbox stamp on it if they don't want to just say they all work. So I'm excited for VR because, dude, these new systems, what they described, that can easily run a WMR. Mm-hmm. And that to me, 1440p, that's actually very exciting to see consoles hitting VR.
Yeah, absolutely. Because VR presumably is, I'd say, the future to elevate games into another space. You know, they kind of, they're standoff experiences, but we have yet to have that full-on game that really brings an adventure, like a lengthy, 8 to 10 hour adventure. Outside of, I think there's that game coming out on PSVR, that Blood and Pursuit, or I always fuck the name up. But
well, and then there's like Bethesda doing a good job Skyrim with their current VR titles. Yeah,
yeah, but like
I just wonder if their next one.
Hmm.
Oh, the new one. There's a new one.
No. Well, there's the Steam VR or whatever it is, which apparently Steam's been developing. 3 VR
the
games
Index.
for like multiple years.
Oh, gotcha.
And also, I would like to see. When I said new, I meant like new games that aren't re-releases of old ones getting VR support and really being like an adventure designed for VR around VR that is like a full-on product, not a two-hour experience or a
mini-game. Well, I have a question for you then. So let's say the new – what's their new game? What's Bethesda's – it won't be Elder – it'd be Outer – or it'll be Starfield, right?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the next – so would you be acceptable – would you rather have a completely different game, or would you just be totally fine if Starfield was also VR?
As an on top of a game you could just play with the screen.
Day and date. Yeah. So you, because I'm okay with that from Bethesda. I think they've pretty done, I think they've done a pretty good job supporting VR.
I was going to say, I'm not against, like, if a game releases and has VR support along it, by all means. I more so meant, those games
just
like,
for
like a PSVR game. Understood. You know how it's like developed for the PSVR strictly. I want to see VR next generation really get that type of push where they start making just for PSVR games that are pretty mind-bendingly good and are expansive, not just like I said, you know, truncated versions of series like Wolfenstein Cyberpilot, you know, something like that, or dumbed down versions. Like a full focused VR title that really can blow some minds and elevate gaming. Because I think the thing with VR is I feel like a lot of people don't buy in until they try it. And for some, it's like, okay, cool, whatever. But for me, it was one of those, like, I played it and I said, okay, I feel like this is the future because we're so used to always having the control in our hands, kicking our legs up on the couch, you know. And that's like, I think the pinnacle video game experience. But I feel like there's room for another area where things can feel different and play differently and the experience is translated differently because of that. Because sometimes people just get like shut down, right? Like you get that mental barrier and everything just kind of glances off you, I guess, burn out a little bit because it's the same style of gaming all the time. So I feel like that's also where VR could thrive. It's just something different. And if you're doing big, crazy games through them, that could really help out too.
I think I really do believe No Man's Sky is probably going to be the current, the big, because they have gone in and like adjusted shit for No Man's Sky so that everything you do, like even your inventory is based, which is not what Bethesda did. God bless them because I love Fallout 4 in VR, but it's not, other than the Pip-Boy, which is great. I mean, it's amazing to look at the Pip-Boy and be like, whoa, that's fucking,
that. This shit's so cool.
Yeah. You're like, that's pretty fucking insane. But you could still tell, even Grimm just got a WMR and he's like, how do I move? Like there's some movement issues, but like No Man's Sky, it looks like they're totally like making it the star, and it's still going to be No Man's Sky, but those kind of experiences, when somebody actually sees it and is just, there's something about it it is that cool aside. It won't replace pancake versions of games, but it does offer something that nothing else really does.
Right.
Like, it's pretty insane.
Well, it seems like PlayStation got ahead of the cut. We'll see what Microsoft has at E3.
I have a question before we move on.
By all means.
What do you think about the controller? Will any of the two controllers, PSVR or PS4 or Xbox, see any major changes? Removal of the pad, the touch pad, removal of the light bar, switching of the sticks and where they are.
Right. I feel like that's more of Microsoft's thing to make a more customizable controller right out the gate. But if anything, I think Microsoft's controller, and I still believe, is the better controller. I think the reason people toot the horn of Sony with their controller is because DualShock, what was it, 3 or whatever, was so bad, the one for the PS3.
So bad, yeah.
Yeah, it was very lightweight, it broke easily, the width of the controller, and for people with big hands, it just felt uncomfortable to play with. And I didn't like it all that much, where I always thought Xbox had a good idea and a good framework outside of the Duke controller. While that's an OG, that still was way too big as a kid. But I feel like Microsoft should just stay the course. If those dev kit leaked images I put in quotes were anything they go off of, which seemed like Sony went from having a touchscreen or a touch pad to a screen on their controller. That seemed like a nice sidestep for it because it looked like a wider version. You know, you saw more of curves on the outside, where if you look at right now, I actually have it right next to me, you can kind of see it's a diagonal line slanted up, whereas the leaked dev image is kind of, it came outwards a little bit more. And it seemed like while the controller, you can see, is tilted back, it seemed like it was more straight up flat, which allowed for, you know, the bumpers to line up with your fingers
a
lot
easier.
Spot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where you're not like reaching, because that's the thing I've noticed with the PS4. Yeah. You move your hands
very
a lot.
Much.
You reach,
and your finger has to do this. It has to go from here to here to get it. It's a weird. There's something slightly off.
Exactly, so. And it's not a bad controller design. I like the PS4 controller, but it stood to improve, which is why I expect a more significant change along the lines of what PlayStation's doing moving up to the PS5. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be any different?
Yeah, I don't know. I do believe that Microsoft will probably put buttons on the back. Microsoft has always played with buttons on the front,
like
and
battles.
I'm a fan, and I know no one else is. But yeah, I think if they don't put ABC XYZ on the front, they will probably do like the Elite, and they'll have one or two buttons in the back. I think that's a good step. Also, I think there's a ton of games where I don't like pressing the PS, because I have the PS4 as well, and you have the little tiny select buttons right next to the sensitivity pad, and it's like they're not really tactile. The idea of having, you know, back finger buttons for, you know, something you don't do a lot would be a bonus.
Okay.
I think the Elite is sort of their plan, and then you make a bunch of them so it's cheaper, right? Like, so right now they're selling them as Elites, but then, like, maybe it becomes the de facto or very close to the de facto for the next system.
Okay,
which
so
I would love.
My question with that speculation is, let's say we get a third party game, and let's say that controller you just suggested with Microsoft happens, it's got the paddles in the back. I actually have a SCUF right here which has
the paddles.
Back. And let's say, you know, Microsoft does that, we got a third party game, PlayStation's controller does not have paddles in the back, but those are additional buttons on the Xbox controller. Now, are you imagining those paddles are just buttons you can remap A to the right bumper, or I'm sorry, the right paddle on the back? Or are you imagining these are like brand new buttons that add to the gameplay that are almost like a black and white from the original Xbox on top of the LBRB, L2?
That's actually a good question, because I'm dealing with that on a game. I don't know if I can, and it's one of the other games I'm reviewing, and it's an old game ported onto a new system, and there is a weird button combination that I'm pretty sure is exactly what you're talking about, where I'm like, the fuck am I doing? I don't remember doing this prior. Like, this feels a little off. It feels like there's too many buttons to do one little thing. So yeah, that I don't know. It's a good point. It's like, is it going to be, you know, C and D, like button C and D is like a completely different thing, or is it just going to be your combo, you know, where like you can add two buttons and remap it? I think that's also fine. It just feels like Microsoft's not going to stick with the Elite as just the Elite. It feels to me like that's the one place where they look at stuff. Like you said, they are sort of messing around. They're the ones who are like, yeah, the Elite, you know, the original Xbox's D-pad isn't good, so they fix that.
Right on.
Bluetooth in the original Xbox, which I have, doesn't work very far. Maybe 15 feet, maybe 20. And the new Bluetooth they put in, the Gen 2s, are much better. Yeah, that's a good point, man, because then you also have backwards compatibility to worry about. Like, if you get a new game and it also works on your original Xbox, can you add a C button? But the thing is, they do have to move forward, too.
Right.
At some point, you're trapped in history. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. I didn't think about that. I guess remapping is probably the best bet, but then it's a little less function. I was hoping for more functionality, but.
Right. You know, additional buttons for things to happen, to put it simply. But
yeah, because they're doing mouse and keyboard too. Like Xbox allows mouse and keyboard, so maybe they don't.
Maybe it would be a good option for remapping, but also we'll say with console MMOs, which are starting to trend maybe upwards, and especially in the next generation, you could have additional hotkeys through those buttons that you can
or radial, where you hold it and now your A, B, and X, Y do different things.
Right.
I don't know what the term is. Modifier key. Yeah,
right.
That's going to be, dude, in a weird way, that's almost more interesting to me than all the hardware and stuff is like the input, because Microsoft with mouse and keyboard has already shown that they're pretty cool with that. And it's like, what else can we see? Which would be very fun. Very fun.
Time will tell. But now we move on to news that I know you're really pumped about. And a lot of people were. I've never even heard of this game. So
how dare you?
Yeah. a new re-release, I guess we could call it. 13, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
13 is coming back. PS2 game, cel-shaded FPS, Carrick, in a world with Borderlands 3 coming out. Why do I care about another cel-shaded FPS? Let me know.
So it was the first. It was one of the first games that I noticed where they used the graphics to actually inform the gamer versus just being cool graphics. So okay. It was a comic book style game. But if you bought the skill to hear enemies farther away, you actually saw the word thump when a person walked, written like a comic book right. In the game world. So you could see them walking towards you by reading a comic almost. It'd be like thump, thump, thump as they walked. And I thought that was really Yeah, it was next level at the time. Like, I'm sure somebody's done it since, but at that time, it was like you were living in a comic book, and it told the story via you would do a mission, and then David Duchovny, who was doing the voiceover, would like there would be a comic book, and it would flip, and there would be action in the cells. And 13's been made into 3 TV shows, 1 movie, but basically, it's about somebody who is framed for killing the president, or may have as you're playing. It depends on which of the versions you're watching. And the political conspiracy behind it and why he's number 13 and what the other numbers are. So it's a little like Hitman in that way, where Hitman's number agent 47. But to me, it depends, because they showed the graphics and that didn't look it didn't look cel shaded. It looked like it was going to go with a neon look, which would also be fine. I want to see what it looks like graphically, because then it'll tell me if they're going to continue with the skills onomatopoeia, which is what you see is what you get kind of thing. But overall, it was just really fun, dude. All the weapons were awesome. I mean, everything had a really cool impact to it. Xbox and original PS2. Is that what you said? PS2?
Yeah, I thought it was just a PS2 game.
No, it's on Xbox, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you don't think this is going to be exclusive to the PlayStation? I saw the announcement PlayStation.
Exactly. And so I don't know, but I know the original was Xbox, but it's not any, like, I don't see any reason why, PlayStation wouldn't have an exclusive. It's just one of those things where, like, maybe a company, you know, approached them and they were like, yeah, we'll support you. So, I mean, whatever it's on, I'll be playing it. Because, dude, if I don't know if it's a remaster or a remake, I don't know if it's like a sequel or if David Duchovny will return for the voice, because David Duchovny isn't the best voice actor in the world. But it was cool at the time because we hadn't seen a lot of voice actors and real actors show up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've done this, but you'll play a game like Punisher, which I love, but Thomas Jane didn't do the voice. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, this is not the person that I want to hear. So that'll be interesting to see, like,
if they redo it.
Yeah, like, are they going to use David Duchovny? Are they going to use somebody else? Dude, it's so fun. It is just fucking a fun game.
Is it? Just
it reminds
a shooter,
me of World War Z.
Is there extra abilities? Maybe
there's some RPG elements. Yeah,
okay.
Some skill.
Yeah,
elements.
I'm just trying to get a feel if it's just like, you know, because I know, like we said, it's a PS2 Xbox game, so I'm trying to feel out the scope of the gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, the only what was the time splitters? It's like there was some elements of that that sort of
it reminds me of. From what I've gathered and from what you've told me, it sounds kind of like a hidden gem that combines elements from other games.
Yes,
trying to make its own and actually succeeded on creating its own identity, unlike a lot of others. Okay.
I was surprised because I got the trailer and I went to comment on it and I thought I was going to be the only one. And like that is a very popular trailer.
I saw your comment. Yeah.
Oh, did you see my comment?
I did. You were like,
I was just
one.
Like, what? Yeah. I was just like, what the fuck? And because out of the blue, Jesus, if you had told me Urban Chaos is another Xbox and PS2 game, that one would surprise me. And I would say 13, because we talk about 13 in the Discord about once a month. Somebody will be like, remember that associated shooter and blah, blah, blah. And somebody would be like, 13? You'd be like, yeah, man. And No One Lives Forever would be the only other one that I think gets talked about as much. So I was really stoked to see that many people excited about it. Like, really excited.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wait, you know, the thing, though, is as a KOTOR fan, I just wonder. I really wonder, man. I can't help but fucking wonder. And everyone listening to the show knew this is coming. But I gotta say again, I can't help but fucking wonder how that game hasn't gotten re-released. I really like a remaster, a remake. I don't care, man. I don't get it. Especially in a world where this game can come back. And not, I don't ever say this in a derogatory manner. Just like,
out of left field,
hidden gems, not a huge audience. Even if this is a game that can vibe with nowadays audience, I just don't understand why a classic series doesn't have a return.
I have a feeling we will get a third one now. Now that the LucasArts has said that they're returning to the old Knights of the Old Republic. I mean, I think it starts with TV shows or movies now.
Yeah, it seems
or,
that way.
You know what I mean? A popular game becomes Witcher, the TV show. Mm-hmm. And then a popular TV show becomes a game. And my personal belief is this is already a popular MMO that's actually getting a single-player expansion this month, a huge one. That's been going successfully. LucasArts said, oh, we're not returning to Old Republic, and now they suddenly are saying that they are. They announced that, what, 2 weeks ago? Yeah. So I don't – dude, I don't think you should be – I don't know about the remake of that because it's BioWare. It's those old voice actors. You never quite know if there's legalities.
That's what I'm saying. There's got to be something funny going on because I feel like that's a sure shot, right?
But, dude, what would be a sure shot? Remember, that was an Xbox exclusive. Imagine if Microsoft came out at this E3 and was like, hey, guess what, guys? Obsidian's making KOTOR 3. It would fucking – and there is nothing stopping something like – I'm not saying this happening.
Scream all the way from New York.
I would. I'd be here and I'd be like, what the – is Maddie here?
My neighbors would probably think I was getting murdered, honestly.
Yeah, no shit. That kind of stuff I feel is possible now that they said is it a movie or a TV show, did they say?
They just said that they have plans to develop something for it and that they're looking into it. They never said show or movie. But presumably, given that the directors have been rumored to be the guys who worked on Game of Thrones, who are working on The Mandalorian, I'd imagine it's going to be a TV show.
And it could be, dude. People just don't get it. Star Wars, whatever, you may like it, but the Old Republic time frame.
It's its own thing.
The amount, it's beyond. It's the coolest. I mean, I'm not even like trying to diss on current. I love Luke and Darth Vader, when you look at Old Republic, the amount of fresh narrative that's there is fucking beyond belief.
Yeah.
And far more interesting than. I think the more tropish stuff we have now, which is like, you are the last hero.
Medieval. Yeah. It's.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people who aren't into Star Wars now or who are going to get introduced to Star Wars, even like adults who grew up through, when Star Wars first became a thing, I think the Old Republic is that thing that could reignite a lot of their love or spark a love for Star Wars because it's just so. I remember as a kid, I wasn't a big Star Wars fan, and then I played KOTOR, and just the idea of, vibroblades.
Vibroblades. It's a big deal, though,
grittier
right?
armor and more metallic, almost, like a medieval knight style armor. I was like, this is Star Wars, but it's not. It's so different. And the early days of some planets, I made a whole video talking about it, it blows my mind. But I don't want to take away from 13 with that. So this definitely looks like a game I'm going to personally pick up and play just because I love cel-shaded art style. I've always been a big fan of that. And what's great about cel-shaded is I'm sure the developers of 13 are like, oh, perfect, because that art style ages so well when you up-res it.
Yeah.
Insanely well. So that works out for them. Where this could be a game someone can nab off the shelf. We talk all the time about how box art and concept art on the back do wonders for selling games. Oh, this looks cool. And 13, I think a lot of people might be, based off what I watched, will be shocked that, oh, shit, this was originally a PS2 game. Because it could get that feeling like I don't know how well it controlled or how fast the game moved, but when you were playing it, at least. But it could give that feeling of how Borderlands Game of the Year Edition got, where the new update, something changed with the movement speed and how fast the game moved. Like, there
did
was
you
a
like
new
the change?
Motion. Loved it. It was honestly some of the most fun I've had playing Borderlands. It was very fast-paced, quick kills. The FPS helped a lot. The field of view helped a lot. But there was something with the movement speed, and it felt better to play. And I'm wondering if you're going to see that with something like 13, which is just a cel-shaded FPS where you move level to level. I heard the campaign's kind of lengthy.
Yeah, on 13, it was, Wow. But I think it also was, it's been a long time since I played it. I think there was a lot of, not secrets necessarily, but stealth. I do remember a distinct, because you got a crossbow. And I remember the crossbow, once you get it, there was a lot of, moments where you could, go slow. And then they told huge stories in the cutscenes. That was the weird thing, is, the cutscenes with the comic books, it was quite lengthy. It wasn't, not that it's not lengthy today, but it costs more because it's CGI, so I think they cut down the amount of time. The only other thing I could
Ubisoft? Wow.
Yes, it's originally Ubisoft. The only thing I could compare it to, strangely enough, is Agent 40, is the new Hitman 2. Because Hitman 2's cutscenes are like a pastel paper look because they didn't have the money to do CGI, but the cutscenes are longer because of that. And I love that. I think that's why. Yeah,
I love seeing creativity blossom under restrictions. It's where the best storytelling comes from, I feel, because it just gives new looks and feels to. It feels like there is a true break between the gameplay and the storytelling. I think this game will do well. I'm looking at your favorite site, How Long to Beat, and they're saying it's about an average of 10 hours. You say that's right?
That seems right. I would say probably for somebody like me, might maybe sneak a little bit more like 12. But yeah, that seems totally normal.
Cool. I'm surprised they even have that logged into their
I mean, I'm assuming that like once it opened, people went, because it hasn't been, it's been around a long time, but I don't think it's been around long.
This
but people
was
are probably classic gaming.
2003. That's so wild. Yeah, because right beneath it, I thought all I was going to get was Final Fantasy when I typed in 13. But yeah, it was, how long is 13? Then Final Fantasy 13.
Does it say how many entries are there? How many people have, because I think it usually says how many people have stated how long
it took. Yes, pulled for the main story, 49. 8 people entered for the main and extras, 12 for the completionists, and 69 for all play styles. So, decent amount of folks.
Yeah, enough to get a good overall, you know, general ID, even if somebody's fucking around, which is the only problem I really have with that site, is somebody could...
It says a total of 169 people.
That's not bad
GameCube,
for an older
PC,
classic
PS2,
game.
PS2, Xbox, and Unlisted, so...
Ooh, GameCube. Holy shit, I forgot.
It was on the GameCube, too, so I wonder how that came to be. That's really strange. Shit, man.
Well, and it's also an insanely popular French comic book.
Oh.
That's how 13 started, was a French comic book writing about American presidents. And it's a ripoff of Kennedy, basically. The president even looks like Kennedy, sort of thing.
Okay, that
and it was one of those things, yeah.
Makes sense.
That might have been the popularity and it's Ubisoft French, so it makes sense that maybe somebody there at Ubisoft was like, we want to tell the story to Americans, and they got David Duchovny during X-Files, which is, you couldn't have been more American at that time. Unless you just got an eagle with a fucking cape made of flags, you couldn't have gone more American than David Duchovny.
That's got to be so cool, because I'm sure the developers who worked on it were like, this is cool, and then they clearly didn't really light the world on fire, and to see it come back 16 years later, and people be like, whoa, it's got to be like a cool feeling, and as they reminisce on all that's changed between then and now. That's awesome. So good for the developers.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I hope that game really does well, and I'll definitely be giving it a look. But now we move into the Switch realm. So we're going to start off with Super Smash Bros. Got new DLC. Nintendo announced that Joker was dropping on, I think it was April 17th now.
17th,
It was announced the day before. It was coming out the following day. Alongside that, it came with a new stage, 11 new tracks, a video editor on top of a stage editor. Just a substantial amount of content for a patch. You do have to pay, I should say, for Joker, but I mean, I was playing as him. I've been playing as him a lot. He plays extremely well. He's fun. When you go and call in your persona, which is a lot easier than you think it would be, because the way the video promoted it, they're like, yeah, you got to do down B, and when you get hit with damage is when the bar will fill up a little bit quicker, but it also fills up faster if you're behind on stocks or damage. So it kind of balances him out, but he does a fuck ton of damage when he calls in his persona. It's wild. He just feels fast and fluid. But more than anything, it is a huge amount of exposure to a franchise that has been growing in popularity over the years, and now... In just a short few days, come next week, we'll be talking about it. They're going to be making a lot of Persona-related announcements, presumably Persona 5 on Switch, as well as Persona 5 Royal, which is going to, based off rumors and leaks, is going to include, I think they said, a new protagonist, new scenarios, a much longer epilogue, and so on, which is really exciting, because those were... at least the longer epilogue is something that I thought Persona 5 originally needed. But have you had a chance to hop into Smash and try out the new DLC, if at all?
Not the new DLC.
Okay, cool.
Nope. I finally only got to play Smash like last month.
Wow.
The first time ever.
I think it's such
got my fucking butt kicked.
Yeah.
Kicked. I think I won. Dude, I think I won two matches out of like 12. There were a bunch of people playing, but yeah.
It really is, because it looks so, because of the character roster, it looks so pick up and play. Like,
And if somebody knows what they're doing, it's not even like Virtual Fighter where I feel like, or a fighting game where I feel like I can sort of, there's a lot of shit that goes on a small screen and you're just like, what the fuck? Shit's going insane.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of mechanics that, like, I think are more complex than you would think if you looked at it.
Yeah, because I always imagined Smash as being like a simple brawler, so to speak. But when I started playing it, I think I got like 180 hours in it now. And when I really started like diving...
Wait, in this one?
Yeah. Yeah,
the
man.
Fuck?
I fucking love that game. I'm genuinely considering putting on my 2019 Game of the Year list, because we got it so late and my Game of the Year list was already complete because I was on vacation at the time. So I was like, you know what? I'm just about to throw this on the 2019 list, because this is definitely one of the best games I played. Like, it's so much fun, especially because that expansive roster, spirit mode's great. They added new spirits, by the way, in this update. If you get Joker, they added like the entire Persona 5 roster in as spirits that you can acquire, which is pretty neat. But what I really wanted to personally start off the discussion with this Smash DLC is, I feel as if fighting game DLC has always been lacking, and this is the first time I feel like a developer has got it. You know, a stage editor, a video editor, I'm not going to hype that up because I don't think the video editor is a huge deal, but still, a stage editor, that, and then a new character, new stage in general, and tons of new music. It gives such a great feel to the game. Why aren't other developers, like we've seen in Injustice 2, they just bring a character and that's it, but like... the stages that you fight on, why is that never a focal point to bring new content for that, new music? You know, I know it requires more effort, but I feel like the fighters that we generally talk about on the show, NetherRealm fighters, Smash Brothers, Tekken, Dragon Ball fighters, which only brought in one stage in its 2-year life, you know, I feel like they need to catch up with the times a little bit. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think the lack of stage DLC is the most infuriating part of fighters right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where you're fighting. I mean, yes, you got a new character, but you're also wanting to look at new stuff. And there are so few games that actually are like, here's a new, and rarely new music. That's like even rarer than new stages, I think. I mean, unless I'm missing it, which is possible. You might have a theme for like Hellboy and Injustice. I don't remember, but long story short, like I would love more stages, and especially 2D, like a NetherRealms game. I'm not saying it takes less, but well, in a way, than a 3D stage with like knockouts, it might take less. And I'm really surprised. Dead or Alive 6, I think I was told that they are doing at least one stage, and I think Dead or Alive in the past has done like one or two.
Have you seen the price of their DLC though?
No, but their game also did the free version too. They released, and then 2 weeks later their pricing went everywhere, and I honestly haven't gone back.
I really like that fighter. I haven't played it in a little bit, but I remember seeing a video.
Dead or Alive 6?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
It's not bad.
Mm-hmm. It's a great fighter.
It's fun.
Yeah, I saw it getting like 6s and 7s, and I think it's because people played the story and took it very seriously, and I said right off the bat before this game even came out, anyone who touches that game should not touch the story, just because it's not what the game's about, but it's about
just use it to learn.
Yeah. And it has a very thorough tutorial. I mean, that's a great fighter.
Very thorough.
But it's DLC. That's just I think all of its content combined prices over $1,000. Like,
for Dead or Alive 6?
Yeah. Like, insanely high.
What are they selling?
Skins. Like... I think here, let's take a peek real quick. I know skins are a definite. Dead or Alive 6, sorry, DLC. I'd also like, in the meantime, to correct myself. I meant to mention that Dragon Ball FighterZ does include tracks with the new characters. They both include their own individual themes.
It's a big deal to me.
So the Dead or Alive Season Pass is $93. You get two new characters and 62 costumes. For $93.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
And then...
I mean, I don't really have an answer for that other than that's not acceptable. Like, I won't support that that kind of cost.
Yeah, I'm looking right now at their DLC, and we've got the Happy Wedding Costume Volume 2, Volume 1, so it's everyone in wedding costumes. Core Fighters, the Season Pass, of course, is $93. the character Phase 4, Neo Tengu. Wait, what? I'm confused. Hold on. Let me read this. Dead or Alive 6 story unlock key. What the fuck is this?
$20. Okay, that's what I was talking about. Yeah. So originally the game was $60. Then they did the Street Fighter kind of thing where they gave you a quarter of it for a very low price, and you could choose fighter purchases from that point. And that's when the price got confusing to me. So I just never, because I owned the game. But these other things you're talking about, that's.
So that's why all the characters, because I saw like Hayabusa, I'm like, $4. Why? Okay, so that's how it all adds up.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? There's just a ton of DLC.
Maybe the 90, there's just a ton of DLC. Well, that's the problem. It's confusing, and it needs to stop. But.
Yeah, all right. I'm looking right now. Holy smokes. All right, so what we've got is the season pass, 2 volumes of costumes, all the characters from the game for $4 each, and the core fighters, 20 character set, $50. Unlock all 20 characters. This may be offered as a free trial for a limited time in the future. What the fuck?
Yeah, they've done it once, too, where they've already had it unlocked for a little while for free. I know people were playing it.
Crazy.
I like the idea.
I do too.
Of that, because I don't think Killer Instinct handled it poorly. I think Killer Instinct was pretty good. They were like, "Here's your 2." Then you got a free fighter to test every, was it month or week or something? Was it monthly? Where it's like you can test out the like new a new fighter
right in the beginning.
Yeah, we're talking about the beginning.
I want to say monthly because I played that game a lot when it came out. Really like that game.
I am okay with companies offering a different tact on fighting games for sure. Like I'm okay with that, but not at that cost. It needs to be the same, pretty much, like the same cost if you wanted to buy them all separately, or the same cost if you want to buy them as a group. But if you don't want to buy them all, it's cheaper. Like to me, that's the way it makes sense. It's like you don't just add these huge amounts of money. Also, that just hurts the fighter, I think.
Yeah,
because the competitive scene will find it difficult if there's like all these different random things that they need to purchase, and people just move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It's like I said, I think it's kind of perplexing when you look at it too. Like you just heard me live looking at it, going, "What?" Like because I had no idea what I was looking at originally. It's just,
and I only know because somebody in my Discord likes it. I will say though, all intents and purposes, probably the best sidestep in a fighter.
Oh yeah,
since the original sidestep was created. That sidestep works for the first time in fucking years in a 3D fighter.
And when I fought online a lot, it fucking throws people off because it works.
You know why? Because I don't think anybody... Dude, it's never worked. But I mean, Virtual Fighter 3 or 4 started using it, and I remember that was the only one that worked. And then years of them trying it and always felt sticky. You'd be like, no, fucker, I double tap down. Like, go in,
like,
or go out.
You'll try to double tap down, but you'd say you'll, like, crouch. And just,
yeah, you'll crouch, and you'll get your ass kicked. And that game was the first, I don't know what it was. I would love to know if it's the input time, but when I got it, it was for an impressions code thing. And I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And the first thing I checked was that. And I was like, are you shitting me? I can, fuck, this changes, because that's the best part about a 3D fighter to me, is if you can sidestep, it changes... You know, how the kicks come in? Like, it's like Sekiro. It's like, where does the blade come in? And if you duck to the opposite side, it won't hit you. And I love that kind of shit.
Absolutely.
So it's got some good elements. It's got some good elements for sure.
I agree. So, yeah, fighting DLC is all over the place, it seems. It really does. But I think Smash is leading the pack, if I'm honest. Hopefully, a lot of companies.
Well, it's got a mission editor, didn't you say? Or a level editor, right?
A level editor, yeah.
So it's already past... Anything. I mean,
it's wild though, because I was just saying like 2 weeks ago, I said, man, imagine if this game had a stage editor and then they added it. Holy shit.
I mean, that's just forever, really. I mean, it's like, okay,
I imagine they'll add the ability to share them. Popular stages available for download.
Wait. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you already could. So you're saying right now I can make a stage of mine, but I can't give it to you with a code of some kind?
I don't believe so. I think I know you can save them, but I believe you can get your friends in a lobby together and fight on them.
Okay. They can at least see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not just yours, but yeah, still, I'd love for them to do kind of what Doom Snap Map did, upload it.
Yep.
Be able to play other people's.
Even if it's a code where it's like you can ship somebody the code and say seed, you know how it used to be, where it's like here's the seed and it's like 8 digits and that makes your level. I would love for that. Well, yeah, that's very cool.
Because I already saw someone create like their own mode where what happens is they have like a pinwheel that's spinning.
I saw that too. Yeah, that's the one
like
I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's like 10 people. I'm like, I'm gonna play that.
The walls are doing this and like they're bouncing. Yeah, that shit looked insane, man. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, exactly. When I saw that, I thought, man, I want to fucking play that, but I can't have access to it. So,
that's too bad because that's what I was gonna download. That's actually the one I saw. I saw the video and I was like, this is fucking, that's crazy. Let like even if it's not good, it would still be cool that you could do it.
Can you download Smash Ultimate Stage? Let's see.
Maybe they're worried somebody will draw a dick on a level or something.
Oh, dude, there's already a ton of dicks. Like, the first two things that just came up are Smash Brothers Ultimate Stage Builder is a blessing and a curse, and Smash Bros. Ultimate Stage Builder unleashes the internet's wild creativity.
You gotta accept it, man. You create a... You allow me to build something even with Legos, there's going to be a dick on somebody with
dude, the first thing I said to my friends, I was like, I'm definitely building the dick stage. Just like two balls and just a dick going
two
down.
Two balls
into
of the penis. That erupts occasionally or something like
that.
Yeah,
someone had one that was shooting lava out. Like, just people are making dicks nutting all over the place. I'm like, what the fuck?
There you go.
Let's see here if the stage builder is available to download shit. Stage Builder has a function that prevents you from drawing certain shapes. Those shapes include penises. Someone on Smash Brothers development team was paid to code and create penis detection software. Okay, so...
Wow!
That's crazy. They're
trying to thwart us. Now I want to try it. Now I want to beat their penis detection software.
I mean, they clearly failed because I saw a ton of dicks.
It's like when you build them too big, the software is just like, this can't be a dick. It's got to be an airplane.
Oh my god, some of this shit that... Oh man, these are hilarious. Alright, so the article does say here... this isn't the first time Nintendo's introduced a stage builder function in its game. Super Mario Maker, for example, lets you share your stages online, so the company has a basic idea of what to expect.
Okay.
I don't know if that means you can share them online for download. Someone will have to let us know in the comments. Or
I bet
Twitter.
you would be seeing that if you typed it in. It would be a thing.
I feel like I would have. So that's that, though. And now we stay on the Switch, but we move over to a different game this time. It is one that Carrick would like to talk about, and that is Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy to be that wrong on a... Well, okay, so the system still has the issues I had with it originally, but, like, a lot of them have been fixed, and a lot of the games that have come out have been awesome.
It's the Dark Arisen, right?
This is Dark Arisen, yeah. Okay. And, while I can't, like, explain anything about it because of the embargo, it is just... It's crazy to... So, L.A. Noire is sort of what started me back on the Switch, because I was sitting there playing it, and I was like, I'm playing L.A. Noire on the Switch. Like, that's pretty fucking crazy. It works really well. Like, it, you know, there's some frame rate hits.
Gotcha.
And it's just been crazy. I got the new battery thing I was telling you about, you know, so I can play it longer, which it totally changed my world because that was another thing. Whenever something gets low battery, I get nervous. So, like, if something is 20%, that already bothers me. Even though it's not at zero, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's 20%. And that was stopping me from playing it for as long.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's crazy to see Capcom do this, because I personally believe it might also be a test for a Dragon's Dogma 2, because this is something that internally I know the various teams have wanted to do. Dragon's Dogma Online came out only in Japan for reasons I would never
really
be able to
strange.
Explain. Very strange. And it's just like, we start to see these games coming, they're starting to run well. I do believe, one thing I've been asking around, I haven't got an answer, is are the devs for Switch sharing their data about optimization? Because Doom, I think it was Doom, or Wolfenstein, no, it was Wolfenstein, it released and it had some really bad textures. And they patched it and they optimized it. The FPS went up, they got everything fixed. And I'm wondering if something got fixed in the background, because I swear to God, a lot of Switch games are running better than they were before. And to me, that's cool, because that means, you know, there's more of a chance of some of these games that I would never have thought would be on the go, if I want them on the go, can be on the go on the Switch. And then, of course, on the Switch 2. you know, look even better or what have you. But it's just, it's fucking crazy, dude. It's like, it's so weird to be playing Dark Arisen on the Switch. It's the weirdest feeling because I just never thought that that would occur, especially because the Xbox One and PS4 didn't handle it well. I don't know if you played those versions.
Yeah, I played the 360 version.
Yeah, the 360 version handled it better, actually, than the Xbox One and PS4. They were a little janky on FPS. Mm. And, well, maybe not more janky, but you expect them to do better, if that makes sense, because they're more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's awesome. I'm just really excited to finally see these kind of games on the Switch. And, I mean, it's every single – it seems like once a month there's some game where I'm all, wait, what? That's coming out on the Switch?
It's like, wild. It's like this never-ending euphoria.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's cool to support a portable for me. For the first time.
I found an article because I could have sworn I saw something, and I was right, that the director of Devil May Cry 5, who did work on Dragon's Dogma, said in reflection of his past 25 years on Capcom, admitted that prior to taking on the role of director for DMC 5, he lobbied executives to either allow him to work on a new DMC or create Dragon's Dogma 2. Naturally, the feeling was that a return to DMC would be something of a better choice right now, but returning Dragon's Dogma is something Itsuno would love to take on at some point. So, I never take the would love to super seriously because we're human.
Right.
I would love, I talk about every fucking show shit I'd love to do. But still, I think those were two options that were presented to Capcom. They were this close to having it happen. I imagine if he's still talking about how he'd love to, it hasn't happened yet. But he said the reason he'd love to go back is because he thought that Dragon's Dogma was the biggest challenge he's experienced in his career that spans a quarter of a century. This info comes from GameRant.com. But yeah, so I wouldn't say that Dragon's Dogma 2 is out of the realm of possibility by any stretch.
And DMC 5 did well.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. Maybe that'll help it even more, right?
Exactly. I wanted to play Dark Arisen again. I played it on the PS4 for a little bit. And what's weird is the original version, the worst version of it, clicked with me. I really liked it. It's not like I played it and didn't like it. Just there's something that's failed to grab me with Dark Arisen. So is there a Switch effect here? Is there something that I'm going to plug this sucker in, and I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, I love Dragon's Dogma again. I mean, I'm telling you guys, like, I played the original version, like, the no fast travel version, where I had to fucking run everywhere, and I was like, this game's the shit, hidden gem. I still talk positively about it, because I know, like, just Dark Arisen at times doesn't click with me.
I was not a fan as much of the Dark Arisen content as I was the original game.
Because
the Dark Arisen content was almost like a rogue kind of game. It was just like climb a tower, almost.
Yeah.
And, well, not almost. I guess that's what it was. But I would say that there probably is a Switch effect because you are playing this game that you did not expect to engage with on the Switch. So I think a lot of people will probably, regardless of, you know, anything else, will end up liking it for that.
Right.
I think what'll be interesting is to see if people look at it like they did with Skyrim, where with Skyrim you're like, holy shit, I'm playing this on a handheld. Yes, it's locked at 30, but it's locked at 30. And see if people react in that way because it is this massive title that, you know, because Dark Arisen is another, I can't remember how many hours. Dark Arisen is another, a ton of hours. Yeah. And so I don't rightly know. I will say that can't say that. Sorry. Trying to walk around anything.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll just say.
Yeah, if you can, it's all good.
Yeah, I'll just say that. I certainly could see it getting new fans for Dragon's Dogma because it's on the Switch and they may not have experienced it. And it fits that where it's like, it's a full, you know, you almost said it with VR. Oh yeah, there's a lot of VR games, but they're not full games. You know, they're this or that. And with the Switch, we've spent a long time where it felt like mobile games that were up, you know, like more was added or there was the occasional gem.
Right.
But now we're starting to get the LA Noirs or whatever. And you're like, fuck, this is pretty insane. And then you know you're getting Skyrim and you're like, damn, this is running well. Doom and all that kind of stuff. So I could see it definitely getting fans because of that.
Yeah. Right. And then also speaking of the Switch getting stuff, now we're seeing like Mortal Kombat 11 coming around.
Oh, that's the other one I was trying to bring. Yeah.
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 Yep. So that'll
be
awesome.
Showed a trailer and it looked Solid. I mean, it looked what like it looked solid. It looked like what I would expect, you know, them graphically to be able to pull off.
Because, well, here's the thing that people will fail to realize, I feel, some at least, is that they have to hit 60 FPS for that game. And that definitely comes with more graphical concessions than in general, even if they wanted to get it functioning. Now they got to dial it back a little bit more so they can run at that higher frame rate. And that's what's going to happen. Yeah. So you'll probably see the videos of here's why Dragon's Dogma, here's why Mortal Kombat 11 on the Switch is fucking hideous. But I think it's within good reason. I would rather a fighter like that run at 60 FPS the whole way. I think there'll be some funny screenshots from it, but gonna happen.
Yeah, but I mean that's sort of required for that game, right? Like it's even Dragon's Dogma could drop FPS and you'd be like, okay, whatever. But with like a Mortal Kombat or something like that, I don't think I think of all the things you want to worry about, it's FPS first, everything else after that.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of gamers preach. So we'll see if that is followed up properly. But Dragon's Dogma on the Switch, when does that come out?
The review is Monday. So I would assume 23rd. 23rd.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, that'll probably be one I pick up over the summer or something, because I want to give it one more shot. Sometimes the Switch just... something clicks. Something happens. Not that I didn't like Dragon's Dogma again, but it's one like I want to go back and replay. And I think maybe the Switch version, especially with the power thing that you showed me and I now have...
that thing...
it's a tank. I love it.
It is a tank. It is a tank, but that indicates that there's a lot of battery life I don't have to worry about, which makes me happy.
Amen. All right, and the last topic, which is a pretty sad one, but also exciting, is that The Last of Us Part 2 cinematic filming has concluded. A photo was released on Neil Druckmann's Twitter account. It was of Ellie and Joel, the actors of them, Troy Baker, and I can't remember Ellie's actress right now. Oh, my God, what is
Neither
it?
Neither can I.
Holy shit. Hold on.
I almost wanted to say Ashley Olsen. It's obviously not, by the way.
I think you, Ashley, you might be on the right track. Ellie.
Is Ashley right?
The Last of Us actress. Ashley Johnson.
Okay, Ashley.
So you were on the right track with the Ashley. I thought it wasn't Ashley. Anyway, there was a photo released that showed them in their mocap suits. Pretty much indicating that filming for the game was complete. Now they have to put it all in the game, of course. But, they also showed, like, the end script. And it seems like this game is making some serious progress. What do you think about The Last of Us Part 2? Are you excited? When do you think we'll see it, more importantly?
Not insanely excited, but I think we will see it. I think there's... if they just filmed the last scene of the cutscene stuff, certain companies do that at the end and then other companies do it at the beginning. But I'm assuming if they film that and they're done, that means they can't really change gameplay that much, which means they already have the gameplay done or very close to done.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, like this fall, because we haven't got an answer, right? On it is PS4.
Presumably.
It's not PS4. It's not 5, presumably. Then it might be their big winter title. Like, I can see them doing that. But I don't have any data on when that one's coming out. I haven't heard any rumors even.
Yeah, they've kept it. I'm surprised, too.
They've kept it pretty tight, haven't they?
It literally just says, Neil Druckmann said, just shot this scene, so, and then a sad face, and it literally says, cut to black, the end. And it was just an image of the script from the final scene of the game, which, you know, I don't know how to word it, but like, I don't usually get all like, oh shit. Like, but I just remember The Last of Us Part 2 The Last of Us, the first one, was one of a few games that, I won't spoil it, but just certain moments in the story literally like automatically sprung me out of my chair. And like, I was grabbing my head, like, no fucking way. Like, I just feel like it's so rare nowadays for games. Yeah, it happens, like, I'd say once or twice a year where a game sticks in your head
and really
fucking pops you out of your chair with this natural human reaction of surprise, even though it's all just graphics on a screen, right? Like, sometimes it just feels like that's all it is. But when it, like, hits you and you go, oh, shit. Like, The Last of Us was one game, man, that did it so hard to me and blew my fucking mind, especially at the end of the first act. Holy shit, I didn't see that coming. Just a fantastic game, and I'm very excited for the part two. So why aren't you as excited? Is it because we've seen very little?
It's because, unlike you, I think I only know one other person who feels the same way I do about the story. But I felt that it's going to sound gross, but it shot its load right at starting. You know,
I get that.
And from that point on, it was hard for me to be like, that's a pretty poignant starting. And I get why they did it, but sometimes when a show has, so sometimes it pays off. Say John Wick, like John Wick loses his dog, right? Mm-hmm. And the rest of the movie is just about him fucking mowing people down. That worked, but it also worked because he wasn't highly emotional from that point. Well, the emotion was a revenge. There wasn't the up and down. The problem with a up and down story emotionally is if the front end is really high, the rest for me has to somehow be higher, and it never did. It never got to that point, which is to indicate that the starting's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. It just after that, it wasn't as much. And so to me, I don't even know. I mean, I'll return for it for review if I get a review code, but if I don't get a review code, I probably will not even experience it. I'll probably watch a video of somebody playing it or talk to the people in the Discord. Like, it just, unless, like, one of you guys is like, dude, the gameplay is, like, fucking knocking out of the park or something like that, then there's a chance.
It seems like it'll knock it out of the park in a way where it just feels very real. I mean, we saw a snippet of
true graphically
where yeah. some of the shit that Ellie did, I mean, I don't believe that's, like, final product stuff, but some of the shit that she did and the way she just naturally interacted with the environment around her
right.
as she fought, holy fuck. It was so crazy what she did.
It was definitely crazy enough to make you question, which yeah. is cool. That's always the good kind of crazy mm-hmm. in a weird
and
way.
The skeptic in me says question. Like, all right, it's probably not the final product, Matt. So if it is, oh my god, that'll be crazy. I keep saying crazy, but holy shit! Like that's what happens. A game gets so good, it just neuters your vocabulary, and you're like, well, how else do
well,
you
I think
describe
it's,
this?
I mean. I think it's awesome, people. It was just one of the very few. I know people who don't like Bully, right? And I like Bully. I just think Bully's insane. But I get why people, for some reason, just don't dig it. I know a lot of people who like certain Uncharteds and don't like the others. So sometimes it works, sometimes it wasn't. Yeah, I get it. So, I mean, I'll just probably wait. Also, since we don't know anything about it, I will need to see more gameplay. Because if, like, the gameplay, it's a little bit like Days Gone. Where if you haven't played it and you see the trailer, you're
hello.
Bad or good. Oh. Just what's and that's sort of how I feel with this one. Mm. Is just like I gotta wait until I see more of it to sort of even draw like what is it gonna be like? Is it gonna be super story based? Is it gonna be like Uncharted where it's like a mixture of puzzle and climbing? Like you never know. Enemy design will be important.
Absolutely. Oh, God.
Very important. Yeah. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. I know what you mean. the thing is that the clickers, I think they're called, right?
Yes, the clickers is what
they're
called.
Those were fucking terrifying. But I've kind of lost my taste for, like, one-hit kill enemies because it feels like, especially when you encounter them in stealth segments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mind repeating sections. I should mention that first. But for me, it feels very PlayStation 2, Xbox original generation, when you have to repeat stealth segments because you got caught by someone or because something one hit kills you. I feel like gameplay should always be open ended, where you can constantly react to the situation around you. Not that you can't die or that you can't restart,
right?
But that it's not just game over if you get caught, because that's where it feels very dated and old. And I think that might have been something that could have, I don't know, but bothered you with The Last of Us 1, because I'd say that was its one gameplay flaw. I thought that, mm-hmm. The parts with the clickers, you know, you could usually maneuver around. It was intense, and it successfully achieved what it had to. But it still, I think, felt very old in that sense, because it would send you back if you fucked up.
And it was more about, I think the action in that game is just more about getting you to the next cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where this one might be, since it looks so good, maybe this one will be a little bit more about, like, allowing you to engage in, you know, those cool elements during the game. And then also the cutscenes are awesome, which right. could then elevate it even, you know, way above the first one. Also, sequels are, that's the reason why I like sequels. Because mm-hmm. a lot, people diss on sequels all the time. Fucking dude, that's, to me, that's where a company looks and says, hey, we got away with it. People loved it at the time, technology-wise. You know, it was impressive. What do we need to do now?
Right.
And then they nail it. So this could actually be the one that ends up causing me to be like, what the fuck? And maybe even return to the original.
Yeah, curious how they create new gameplay systems, because Last of Us 1, pardon me, was created during a time where we didn't see a ton of crafting in games all the time. You know, because you had the backpack, you could take a knee and put like a nail in your plank, or you could create a Molotov real quick on the fly. And it was all done in real time. Or you could create like a can grenade that shot out nails, something like that. And that worked really well for its time. But nowadays, we see it so much. It's like, what does The Last of Us Part 2 do? Do they offer new weapons, like a crossbow, for example? And now you can craft your own bolts, and that kind of allows for something familiar but yet new feeling, because I feel like not enough games use crossbows. But anyway, personal bias on that aside, I feel like that's an element of the gameplay they're going to have to really try to drive forward, because I don't feel crafting is as, I guess, like that.
Unique
that,
anymore?
Yeah, it's unique, but like the item management has sort of lost the sizzle, I feel. It was really cool to see that in those types of games back then, but now it's every game's doing it. Because,
well, look, I mean, it's like Resident Evil when we were kids, man. You'd be playing it and you'd be like, oh, you got to work on your inventory. And now you're like, I don't want to work on the inventory.
Yeah.
You know, you grew out of it. You know, it was cool for one or two games. And then all of a sudden you're like, nah, I'd rather not. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it comes out within, I doubt it's coming out this year, but I would love to
you
see
really,
that.
Really? So what do you think? Next summer? Maybe a summer game? Because it could do well as a summer game.
Yeah. I feel like that's a game that and Ghost of Tsushima, I feel like those are two titles they really don't have to rush out. The only reason I don't include Death Stranding in that conversation is I personally feel like the internet's really hyping that one up because it's a Kojima game and he's free from the shackles of Konami. So I feel like expectations are really high on that, and the longer it's sitting in its stasis developing, the more expectations are built and the more the product can be damaged from that.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like The Last of Us Part 2, I don't know if they've confirmed it yet, but I feel like that's a game that might end up being a launch PS5 type of thing.
PS5.
I just really do. Because I feel like a lot of people keep thinking new consoles next fall. And I really truly believe that gaming's popular enough, and we saw the Switch and how well it did by selling consoles in March, that these guys could come out in spring next year and we'd be fine, which would then put The Last of Us Part 2 around then, I feel, where I would have originally anticipated it anyways. And imagine this, because the rumor is that Horizon Zero Dawn 2, whatever that would be called, would be on PS5 as well. It's going to be, because they released a new IP, 2 years ago? So they immediately start working on the next one because it was such a great selling exclusive. So you know that's going to be in the PS5 come 2020 spring. Is it ready? I don't know. But like, PlayStation could have a fucking crazy launch lineup if things pan out.
Like, yeah, maybe go with like three big games.
Like Death Stranding, Horizon Zero Dawn 2, The Last of Us Part 2. How could you even choose? I know I wouldn't shoot Death Stranding, but that's just
I wouldn't. I was gonna say right now, I'm definitely not like on fire about that game. I think that's probably their best bet. I personally, and this is just me saying this.
Okay.
It would be this will not happen, by the way, because of timing. But I do believe that also what would be amazing if there was a Spider-Man 2 day one. Because it ties in the current huge comic book, you know, group. Spider-Man did well. It's obviously timing-wise, it's just not feasible. But whether it could be another superhero, you know, that. But I don't know why. I was thinking about that a couple days ago. I was like, what would, because in the past when a console launched, way past, there was always, for example, a Sega system. You always knew there was going to be a racing game, a fighting game, and a platformer. That was like the typical. There was always a very typical thing you could track. And then about the, I guess Xbox 360, PS3 days, they didn't really do that. It was just like, here's a system and there's some, you know, up-resed, and then there's one or two games, but there was never that title that you were like, fuck.
Right.
And I do wish they would return to that. I do want a PS5 or an Xbox for me to go, what the fuck? Like, day one. Because Game Pass is great, and up-res titles are great, but I just don't feel like the PS4 had a title where I was like, fucking A.
Mm-hmm.
And Xbox One didn't have a title where I was like, fucking A, I'm on it.
Yeah,
and I would love for these, and especially if they are more expensive, Manny, that would go a long way. So imagine they were like, okay, we don't want to lose our shirts on this, so we're going to, you know, throw some pack-ins, we're going to do a little bit more expensive, but we're going to have these three huge games, Death Stranding, Last of Us 2, that right. and Ghost of Tsushima, that could work, yeah. That I think that would be an amazing release lineup for a system.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome.
About that. I forgot about Ghost too. Yeah, even though I mentioned it, but yeah. I mean, we'll see. I feel like they're gonna go big this launch generation. Microsoft's more peculiar because we can kind of predict what Sony's gonna do because of how things have released and the success of all of their exclusive titles. But with Microsoft, nothing's really clicked. And presumably what they're working on, like, I'd say what, Forza Motorsport 8, would it be? You know, I'm sure you can expect
it would be 8, and it would be Horizon 5.
Yeah.
Would be the two, okay, would be so their which are there. And Horizon 4 admittedly did insanely well.
Right.
Yeah, Horizon it was this fall. Yeah,
so I'd imagine Motorsport 8. I feel like
Halo.
Forza. Yeah, Halo, and maybe Gears 5.
And then the Coalition or what, or that, maybe it's not the Coalition, but there's the other dev that was working on that one game that like came and went. Yeah, it'll be interesting. That's one of the problems I think that Microsoft has is that it's easy to ignore the really good games they do have because they do have a couple that are really good. But then you also have like the Quantum Breaks, right?
Mm-hmm. Apologies. Where Gears 5 is set to release this year. So I was incorrect on that.
Okay, Gears 5. But even a Gears, I would like something really surprising.
I want something new.
I would like something.
I feel like Halo is going to be a big one. I feel what they I think they released how much they spent on it. It's going to be like the most expensive game ever. In the terms
I don't
of
care
its
about
budget.
That.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, clearly they're trying to do it all. Like,
yeah, they care.
Gonna
yeah,
see
right.
Battle Royale. We're going to see a big story. Presumably those RPG elements that a lot of us were speculating about based off rumors. I feel like you're going to see all of that, which is more so why Microsoft's going to absolutely backpedal on what they said about not putting Battle Royale in Halo because they spend so much money.
The only
on
Battle
it.
Royale we care about is the Battle Rifle,
yeah.
was what they said. The yeah. only BR we care about.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, just you wait. Wait till you see that Apex and Fortnite money. You're going to be like, whoa, hold on. Halo's popular enough. But yeah, I'd like to see something new. That's one thing that I really appreciate about not that Sony didn't have this, but Microsoft's launch lineup for the Xbox One was Dead or Alive, or not Dead or Alive, Dead Rising, which wasn't new, but Rise was new. Instinct wasn't new, but a remaster remake that was really fucking fun. And there was something else. While PlayStation had
it was more
Knack,
of a
kill zone.
It was more of an old school. Yeah. Oh yeah, like, Knack. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh dude, kill zone.
Did you ever review
for example.
Knack too?
No.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to know.
But I would kill if they were like Xbox XXL has, you know, like Killer Instinct 2. Like that would be.
Yeah.
Microsoft did go a little old school now that you read those in their original, in those day and dates, which that's cool to me. Like that would be awesome. I think Rise, ignore it all you want, but there's a lot of games that are very popular that play a lot like Rise. And you can bitch about Rise all you want, but when you actually look at it, it's like it got some shit because it was a Kinect title at first and then transferred over. A lot of these games do get shit in that way, too, where they're one thing and then, you know, we see it with World War Z.
I beat Rise twice. Like, I'll admit it. I like that game.
I beat it twice as well. Yeah, me too. So it would be cool to see what they do. I also like the story in Rise, which I believe was actually, I wouldn't say criminally underappreciated, but was a bit underappreciated for some of the cool elements they have and what they told and what you find out at the end. And you're just like, whoa.
Yeah,
that's
the ending was good. I thought the ending was good.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Microsoft does. I think these Ninja Theory, you know, something at E3 that they might show.
Oh.
Ninja Gaiden 4? You know, see some... Well, dude, that's,
or
I mean,
reboot,
that's
probably.
Like, imagine a Ninja Gaiden game, you know, on even on current gen technology that was like Sekiro, but next Ninja Gaiden, people would shit themselves over.
Right now. Not that I wouldn't buy a PS5, but if Microsoft was like, we're rebooting Ninja Gaiden, it's a launch title, I'm sold. I wouldn't have had to hear another fucking thing.
I forgot Ninja how Gaiden. Big that game is. And that's the thing people forget, too. If you look at Microsoft's IP list, they actually have some bonkers in there. Mm. It's just they haven't done much with them. I think Phil Spencer's the type of guy, though, that might. He let Crackdown, ignore it, like it, dislike it, whatever.
He let it happen.
Because I wasn't a huge fan. He let it happen and let it live to see what would happen. And maybe there's something out there that we don't know of that it's like, you know, they're just slowly working on. It'd be cool. Usually we get leaks, though, right?
Yeah, it's been
usually
really quiet.
We get leaks. It has. And in fact, one or two of the big leakers that I know of don't even work there anymore. So they can't leak. And that's why some of the leaks that I think we would have seen by now haven't even, they're like legit haven't come out. Yeah, we haven't heard much. Halo. But that's. Yeah.
Halo's really the only one.
That's another Halo. I mean, I like Halo, but it's, you know what I mean? I mean, I say that, but if they do something crazy with Halo, that will sell. Like we know there's four player on screen, they said they're putting split screen back in. If they did something crazy, Infinite being the title name, if they did something that like none of us expect, I could see that being a huge system seller, like the return of Halo. It absolutely could. So I shouldn't diss on Halo. It's just the pattern hasn't been.
I was going to say, I think it doesn't bode well if I personally believe at least the best Halo game to come out during the Xbox One generation was Halo Wars 2. And I know that wasn't super great, but yeah. Yeah.
Son of a bitch. That hurt to even hear. Halo Wars, man.
Yeah. And like I said, yeah. Halo Wars 2 was like a, you know, I don't do number scores, but you define it as like a solid 7 or 8. You know, it was a good game, but it had, I know there were some people who had issues with, I think it was called the Blitz mode or whatever. Like you could pay to win kind of with the cards. So
I had nothing but bugs. Nothing but bugs in that game.
I had some bugs at times too. Yeah. I remember in the first mission, the Warthog went to ride off some jump and I sunk right into the map.
Yep. Yep. I have that in my review video. I was just like, what the fuck? Because I didn't want to like it, but I mean, I expected to. It looked like, you know, and an RTS on a console done right is going to be a system seller. Mm-hmm. It'll be, and it just hasn't yet been done right. We might be thinking inside the box too. Like Microsoft or Sony, if their release is day and date, they could be like, here's a VR game. Mm-hmm. Or here, like, you know, remember Microsoft, you can use the Rift on the Xbox.
Right.
You just can't use it in a ton of shit. But it's like, what if they're like, you know, what if there is something? What if it's like, well, Halo, and they HoloLens they fuck with. But it's like, what if Halo is pancake version and VR? And suddenly you're like, oh, fuck. Like, yeah. There's one of them. I just have a feeling one of them is going to do something. You and I are going to be sitting here going, what?
My guess like, would probably be, you know, everyone always thinks of like the big three launch games. My guess is one of them is going to do like 6, 7. Like here's a ton of options instead of just 3.
Oh, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be awesome if they were like
here's 2 VR games, but 2 indies, 3 big ones.
Yeah, and they got to get a fighting game. I think fighting games are slightly coming back, so it'd be great. Racing is middling, sometimes popular, sometimes not. But yeah, it would be awesome to see something surprising. It would be great if you had 6 or 7 real solid backups to make you purchase a console. Because I require a lot of games to purchase a console. I do it for reviews, but if I wasn't reviewing.
Right. I feel you. I'm the same way. I always tell the story of how I didn't buy an Xbox 360 until like 2009, I think. You know, I was...
Yeah, right. 2 years later, right?
Exactly. I was really... I think 2.5, 3. Two I was and a half, really yeah. late, and the reason I bought it was out of all games, Resident Evil 5 and Call of Duty World at War. Like, it wasn't even like I was sold on something huge. Granted, I was a lot more, for lack of better words, casual back then. But, yeah, I just feel like if I expect any company to do, like, 7 games, for example, it would be Microsoft, because they've always been about presenting options and lots of them.
That
just fit their mantra. Like, here's a fighting game, a racing game, an action-adventure game, a multiplayer game, an indie game, a VR game. Go crazy.
That would be... Yeah, it's, dude, I do. I do feel that there's going to be some surprises that, like, we're missing, whether it's even just because their input devices are different than we're not expecting. There hasn't been a lot of leaks. That's what's crazy. Like, even what, for example, what PS4, what they just talked about, other than one leaker who has been right, no one else leaked that. No one. So one leaker had a paste bin that was right. No one else. So that indicates that it's pretty ironclad, probably pretty early too, but it's pretty ironclad, which is cool because then it means, like, I love to be surprised. Like, I hope this E3, I mean, I have a weird feeling Microsoft is just going to be like, I'm not getting my hopes up, but it would be a good time for them to be like, look at us and look at our future.
I don't see any other option. If they come out just with like a solid conference, I thought last year theirs was great. Theirs was arguably one of the best.
Very much, yeah. Man. Yeah.
But yeah. Especially I would also love to see them one indie game that that DMart worked on. It was that 16-bit nighttime game that had a really cool art style.
The techno it's not out yet, but Babylon. No, not Babylon, but yeah, I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That game looked awesome. That was one of the games that was shown off at Microsoft's, and CD Projekt Red working with them. You know Microsoft's going to bring out more of that this year. They got to come out swinging for sure.
There is that one rumor, and it went away. Well, I would say a rumor and a half, because one person half verified it, and then one person stated it for sure. So, but that is that CD Projekt Red, like, is very much going to be doing something with Microsoft at the event.
I thought that was kind of a safe bet. You know, we know Cyberpunk's coming out this year.
Yeah. You know, so. What I mean is it. It just, a rumor didn't sound like it was going to be a normal, here's our game. Whatever that means is like here's our next gen technology and here's a game, here's something. I don't know.
Well, and they said they're releasing two AAA games by 2021, so you think they're showing what they're doing next too?
Because just what I heard, one made sense,
right,
and lines up, and then the other half made sense, and then the other half sounded like a fantasy novel. So I was just like what? But they both are pretty solid. So I'm just waiting to see if, like, some, you know, if we see somebody else pop off with a couple of these, and then, you know, you can start to sort of believe it. But I think Microsoft, that would make sense, even if it is just Cyberpunk. And I say just Cyberpunk, not in a bad way. But I'm saying, even if it's just them saying, okay, here it is on the Xbox X. And, you know, because I think that's another question, too. Right, like, how is it going to run on current, which is what the majority of consumers are using. Also, I could see them doing something crazy, which is, so we talked about this, and I know you got to go because I think I'm holding you, but
you're not holding me out, bro.
You have, like,
I took off my glasses. You thought, like, I was like, all right, character.
No, I just looked at the time. It has been 2 hours, but so I could see Microsoft doing something really unique where they're like, here's me playing on the Xbox Cyberpunk. And then here's me on my PC playing the game and, like, push a button and the save moves over.
Okay.
Like, little things to indicate that they're moving towards. They made it clear. Xbox Original is your low-end PC. That's why mouse and keyboard's available. And then you have Xbox X is middle. And then you have whatever they've got planned for, like, Ultra. And then you have your PC, which is Ultra or whatever.
Right.
I like the idea of them saying, here's our ecosystem. And it's not just the console. The announcement of the new store, for instance, on the PC. The PC Windows Store is abysmal. It's legit terrible. So what if they were like, today we're announcing the new store, and, you know, it just works. Todd Rays. But yeah, I mean, I would love for them to be like, and hey, you want to move your save game? Just and, you know, you're transferring between the two seamlessly. Yeah, that would I'd be pretty stoked to see that because it's not a game. That's something Microsoft can push that only they can push, is like, because they soundly beat Sony in multiple ways when it comes to network. So it's like Microsoft started, could also. And like the Xbox Live is better. It's faster. It's like, what if they're just
a
like,
lot
here's.
Better.
Yeah. So if they don't have a ton of games, or they do, I would also like them to mix in why they're better at that, because that's a strength that is hard to sell. But when you do, people always nod. everybody I know who has a they might like the PS4 10 times better. Mm-hmm. But whenever I'm like, well, the Xbox, when it comes to like these services and stuff, they're like, yeah, that is that is legitimately true. Like, so that would be cool for Microsoft to say, hey, here's what we're offering that's not games, but that are also these side services that help it all come together. Because I think we're still missing some of those. Mouse and keyboard support's been added, but we haven't seen a ton. Mm-hmm. It'd be great if they were like, here's 50 games that's working for. There's some cool stuff that they could do on the side, for sure.
All right. We'll see how it all pans out, but that happens to be the final segment. Somehow we went from that segment is literally named in my notebook, Last of Us 2 Filming Complete.
I got you. PS launch titles.
That's what I love. Like, if someone could create like a tree graph on how characterized topics just progressed there, how we got deeper and deeper in the rabbit hole.
Yeah, it'd probably just be a bunch of what the Fs. I would like to see somebody try to do that with our Spider-Man, that one podcast where we started out talking about Spider-Man, suddenly it was co-op. And we were like, I think that was me just finally getting excited about it and be like, I got an idea. And it was just so stupid, but it was fun. But I mean, yeah, it would be funny to see somebody try to track it.
I feel like that's not a the next one. Yeah. If they're like, yeah, you could play as Miles.
Fits the story, right?
It does.
And Mary Jane dies, it'd be amazing. Oh, hopefully she dies right at the start. Sorry, I hate
Anyway, next week is our big episode 200. We got some plans, some announcements for you guys. Like I said, we're going to try to get a guest. We'll see. But it's not like a blow the lid off of everything type of big deal. We just kind of want the show to continue as is. And a lot of the things we changed, like the artwork, the thumbnail, et cetera, the flick-a-buck stuff, that was like stuff that was done weeks and weeks ahead of time where we just didn't want to sit on it. So we kind of gradually rolled out all these new changes over time. But anyway, next week, next week is the big day. We hope you all enjoyed this episode, and we'll catch you guys next time. Peace out.